When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Meta Show. It is March the 9th, 2024. I am Brisker Bull. I am joined alongside no one today. Why is that, Brisk? Well, Mark Resurrectus had a death in the family. He is off. I am doing the show solo. And we have a heck of a show for you today because we're in the midst of an actual fight. Maybe, but probably not. Hence, the reason why we had the past music playing during the pre-roll. Now, let's talk a little about what's happening. On the screen, you can see a Fortizar that is onlining, in the process of onlining, in F4R2 Tech Q in Catch. This is a pretty important system in Catch. There is a keep star, a Horde keep star in the system. It has been in the system since the end of December. It was originally dropped by Fraternity. It has been passed over to Horde in the beginning of January, and we dropped a Fortizar right off of it a few days ago. Now, the question is, ladies and gentlemen, whether or not our friends in PandaFam are going to form and contest this Fortizar. Now, right now, there are thousands, and I mean literally thousands, of goons and other Imperium members heading towards F4R2. Some of them are in dreads, some of them are in subcaps, but we're all moving. I'm in a dread right now, and I have in my in-ear monitor, I'm hearing all of the fun of all of our guys moving. So if you see me stare off stunned into space during the stream, it is not because I forgot what I want to say. It's because there's a lot of dreads, and we're all getting instructions on where we're moving. Now, I want to go into all of the details and talk a little bit about what's going on, because I'm kind of at the point where, if you haven't been paying attention in NullSec, you have not been paying attention in the last couple of weeks or so, then you may not have any idea what's going on. And I want to make sure that you do, because part of the fun of the meta show is we tell you what's happening in EVE, in NullSec, in the meta. And what I will tell you that I am seeing, as far as I can see, all of the information that has passed through my dirty fingers and all of the information that I'm hearing from my friends and colleagues around New Eden is there's something going on in Pandemic Horde. There's something going on in PandaFam. And it doesn't sound to me like it's that good of a thing. What does that mean, Briss? Well, as you all know, the world, and we'll pull this up, I'll show you, the world is kind of, we are in a what I think everybody would call, here's the browser screen, we are in a bipolar world. Now, what does that mean? That does not mean everybody's crazy. What it means is there's the Imperium here in the southwest, and then there's PandaFam up here. Let me move the map here. Up here in the northeast. There they are. And they're the two largest powers in the game. Everybody else is sort of in the middle. We've got a cushion here. This is Innit and Fountain over here. And down here in the southeast, which was the former Southeast Agreement space, that was kind of where all the fun was, because that was where all the smaller groups were. Now, this buffer zone has been a buffer zone for a while. It has traditionally been a buffer zone because some of the space is difficult to control. It's not fun. It's really tough to handle. For example, if you look at, here we go to Catch right here in the bottom. This is In the old days, they would say all roads lead to Rome. Today, all roads lead to Ketch. It is the one of the centralized systems in New Eden. If you want to get anywhere in the southern part of the map or into low sec or into high sec, you're going to probably go through Ketch. Great Wildlands is another one. You can see it over here. That's another system like that that has a ton of connections. Clown Ring up here, another one. But Ketch is one here. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different systems are all connected to Ketch. So what happens? Well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is Ketch traditionally is always having lots of big fights. People don't want to live there because it is a crossroads, and crossroads mean people are coming through. Crossroads mean if you want to use that space to crab and make money and mine moons and mine anomalies and run crab beacons and crab to your heart's content, it's kind of hard because there's constant movement through the system because people are going from their space to other people's space and they're coming through your space, and the result is bad things happen. So Ketch has always been one of these systems where we see, or one of these regions where we see action starting to happen, and if there is something going on in Eve, Ketch is often the canary in the coal mine. And that's where we are right now. So F4R2. Let's talk about F4R2. Why is F4R2 an important system? Well, let me tell you a couple of reasons. First of all, traditionally, historically, F4R2 has been a crazy important system. If you all recall, this is a long time ago. You may not remember. Back in 2016, we had, my eyes are decloaked. I'm a little nervous. Back in 2016, we had a situation where goons were fighting amongst a bunch of other people, and the result was a massive battle that I was in, but I wasn't in goons at the time. I was in a group called Drone Walkers, and I'll show you the battle report as soon as I cloak my damn ship up again here. Now, the battle report is right here. This was about a 200 billionist fight. This was in January 2nd of 2017, okay? If you look down here, you can see, and I'm going to show you, this is cute. This is old school Brisk from 10 million years ago. There's Brisk right here, little me in this fight. In F4R2, so long ago. It's pretty crazy. So in any event, I was there. I got to see all the fun back in the day when we had this. And that was the last time this system kind of had a big fight. But in the end, what we've been doing today is trying to make this system relevant again, because what do we have? We have this potential Keepstar fight. Now, what do we mean by potential Keepstar fight? The traditional way to fight a Keepstar in this game is, at least in the last couple of years, what we do is we put a structure on the grid that is right next to the main structure, and we use that. Oh, I'm getting shot. I got to run away. Let me get out of here. Running away. Man, these guys are really good. They caught me. But you know what? I have a lot of different stuff on this grid. So I will warp off to the sun and come back. There we go. All right. So while my eyes are getting shot and I'm moving my Keepstar guy and then moving my dread into the system, we'll keep going. So here I am at the sun. Or we're back to grid here in a second. But the reality is, like, the system is pretty important, and that's one of the reasons why Horde was staging out of there. And, you know, for now, I think I'm just going to move around a little bit. And, you know what, let me maybe not do this while we're live. All right, let me get the stuff going here for a second. All right, here we go. So that was the that was my battle report showing you the old school stuff. So if you look at the map, this is the jump range map for F4R2. It gets you into Providence, it gets you into Ketch, it gets you into Kursk, it gets you into MNC, and that is crazy long because this is what happens. You want to get guys, you want to be able to project power. This is a system that's central to Ketch that lets you do that. And that's one of the reasons why it has been a system that has been important for a while. Now, all of that said, we have 171 people in local, as you can see on the screen right now. Not a ton of folks. Actually, let me pull back to the main screen here because you could be able to see it better. We have 170 people in local. It's obvious that these guys are not planning on taking this fight, which I find surprising because, again, this is one of those situations where we have done everything we possibly could to give them an advantage. They knew that this was onlining. It was an obvious thing. It's been on the screen. The fort is anchoring for a while. And at the end of the day, our best time zone is U.S. time zone. Their best time zone is U.S. time zone. And if this was a type of thing, if they really wanted to fight, if PanFam really wanted to fight, this would be the place to do it. This is their prime time, our prime time. It's 4 o'clock on the afternoon for U.S. time zone people. It would be very easy for them to contest this. And we can bring numbers. They can bring numbers. The result is, here we come. You can see us coming into local right now. And guess what? They're not anywhere to be found. So when it comes down to it, it's surprising to me that a group that, you know, if they are doing well, believe that they are doing well, this is the kind of fight that you take. But they didn't take. And it's not clear why, other than the fact that we know that they have begun the process of moving away. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you in a second. Once I get cloaked up here again and get the screen showing the online structure. There you go. There's their Keepstar. Where is the fort? Where is the fort? It's right below me. There it is. There is the fort. The fort is right here. It is onlining in 43 minutes. And we still don't have really any defenders. So what happened earlier in this week? Well, what happened earlier in this week was we got pings from Gobbins, who noted that we're moving Ketch Dreads, as you can see here, we're moving Ketch Dreads and some of the subcap doctrines from F4R2 to Utopia. Current directions, all caps to Utopia, TFI, Stormbringer, Zealots, Armor Support, Guardians, Damnation, everything else, going to the Fort Azar and Utopia. Here's the link. The following stuff stays in F4R. Rokes, Cyclones, Vagabonds, small stuff. Subcaps should be using SMBs, that's ship maintenance bays, not by gates. Cap pilots can use their stuff to advertise. Anyway, they're running away. They're running away. Or as what, you know, you may be able to say, they are advancing in the opposite direction. Now, why are they moving to Utopia? Well, if you look at the map, Utopia is across the border in Ketch, in Kursk, I should say, right here. It's two jumps away. But the good thing is Utopia is within jump range of F4R2 for Dreads. In jump range of F4R2 for Dreads. It is not in jump range for Titans. So The moving out of Ketch that they had moved into starting in January. Throw in the fact that Gobbins is pinging out and telling everybody, we're leaving, we're running, we're going away, we're going back to, we're moving to Utopia, they're moving Dreads out. And the result is, I really don't know. I have to say, this whole thing is surprising me. And this is not the behavior of a group that wants to fight. It's not the behavior of a group that thinks they potentially could win, and it's not the move of a group that is itching for action. Now, What else have we been hearing? Well, first of all, Utopia in Curse is pretty close to where Innit is in the process of deploying to. So not only are they running away from us in Ketch, they're running towards a wood chipper. If you look here in Curse, now granted, GO6 is right here. This is the initiative's traditional homeland. They have been in GO6 forever. I still have ships from my time in Innit in GO6. So I don't know where exactly Innit has moved to in Curse, but the reality is they've got a ton of folks there already because they got stuff already staged in GO6. Anywhere they move that's close to Utopia is going to be able to hit them pretty hard. Now, you know, why is Mumble up here? Drop that down. Now, the hard part of running the show by yourself when you're in the middle of ops, it's kind of rough. So thank you guys for bearing with me today. Now, moving to Curse, that in and of itself is a demonstration, I think, of weakness. It's not the kind of thing that you would expect a group that is ready to fight and wants to fight to do. It's just weird. And then second of all, we have been hearing, hello Oz, we've been hearing a ton in the background that our friends on the other side are burnt out. We've been hearing a ton of things that their FC group, their leadership group, has been completely tired out by the constant and utter good work of folks like our boy Alterari, who's in the chat, Arcadia Soul, other members of the Imperium FC team. The result has been they have had to constantly form home defense fleets all the time. And the result has been, guess what? They're burning themselves out. And they're burning themselves out on little things that don't really matter compared to what we would want them to burn themselves out on, which is big fights like the one that they seem to be avoiding right now. Now, this is frustrating to me. I think it's frustrating to you. I think it should be frustrating to everybody. Why? We want to fight. I want to fight. I think the rest of Goons want to fight. The rest of the Imperium, we want fights. Torvald's here. He wants to say, let's have some Titan action today. I wish there was going to be any. I wish there was going to be any. But it's right now not looking great. And I think the frustration I think we all have here is, what do we need to do to get the Horde leadership to fight? Now, I agree with Mawan 100%. Absolutely. The Horde line member wants to fight. They're not going to run away. They don't want to run away. These guys are fighters. But when the leadership is not giving them the fights that they want and instead is moving doctrine ships out of a keep star that they dropped 3 months ago, I don't get it. We're right here. We're on grid. Are they on grid? Not really. There are some people here, but there's 619 people in local right now in the system, and the vast majority of them are goons. So, yeah, this is kind of a shame. Now, I get frustrated with the fact that we're not going to get a fight today because I was hoping for it, and I think we were all looking forward to it. But the reality is, we're not. We're a half an hour away from this Fortizar onlining, as you can see on the screen, and the result is we're not going to get... We're not going to get the action that we were hoping to get today. And I can only speculate as to why not. But again, I think this is one of these situations where we're here. We've said we're ready to go. We've said, let's do it. We gave them the option. I don't know how much more they want. We gave them their time zone. We gave them space that they have been deployed to for 3 months, a fight in their own system. They could put a jammer up if they wanted to. They own the iHub in the system. They could put a jammer. I mean, Fraternity does. They could put a jammer up. I mean, short of SRPing their ships in advance, I don't know what more advantages we could possibly give to Horde to take this fight. And they chose not to. Now, okay, what could they be thinking? Well, again, talked about this a little bit. I think, number one, if they don't have the FCs, and the FCs that they do have are getting tired, I'm telling you, it's one of these things where it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. What is Asher doing? Let me see what Asher's doing. Where is Asher? Let me look at him. There he is. I got guys. There you go. Anyway, I don't know what's going on there. I'm not going to pan around too much because as much as I like to look at what's going on, I'd rather not let the bad guys know what we're doing. But here is a bunch of ships sitting right here. Oh, they're shooting the Anzablux. That's what they're doing. Great. That's even better. I love it. They're shooting the Anzablux. Maybe that'll get a fight. I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's one of these things where when the bad guys don't have the FC team ready, when they are not capable of forming up on a Saturday afternoon in the springtime, I don't know. I do not understand what exactly it is. What more can we give you to get a big fight? And I tell you, this system is ripe for a big fight. Like I said, it's been 7 years since the last time there was a big fight here. And if you were a Horde guy, if you look back on that last fight, as we talked about, that was a bad day for the Imperium. We lost 5 supers in 2017. And it was one of the biggest fights of that era. It wasn't BTAC-R sized. And for those, as we mentioned before, BTAC-R was 10 years ago. It's amazing how long ago it was. But this was a 3,000 plus fight. Now, Asher says he's reffing the keep. So they're reffing the keep. We're attacking the Anzablex. We're reffing the keep. We're waiting for the system online. And it's not happening. It's not happening. We're not getting a fight. Well, maybe we'll get lucky and these guys will start to rage form. But as far as I can tell, they have not pinged anything in a long time. In fact, they were pinging move fleets as early as this morning. Yeah, it's my old computer. Torvald, there you go. So at the end of the day, what are we going to get today? Well, it seems to me, at least the Imperium is going to get a case of blue balls and Horde is going to get a missed opportunity. Which sucks. It sucks. It doesn't just suck for Horde line members. It sucks for Imperium line members. And it reinforces something that we talked about on the show a couple weeks ago that I get a little frustrated with. And that is, in the eve of the last 3 years, we have seen a shocking shift towards the Hell Dunker Blue Ball strategy. That is simply, if you are not willing to take a big fight, all you're going to do is just not show up. You'll let folks ref your stuff. They start pushing back. You move forward a little bit. Maybe you scurry. Maybe you do a couple of SOV fights, maybe some Entosis fights. You do all of that. And if they don't want to show up, well, all right, fine. No problem. We'll just run away. And I hate to say it, but this has been one of the things that drives me crazy about the state of modern NullSec. We have gotten to the point where weaponizing boredom has become such a huge thing that we can't stop it. We can't stop it. Now, let me look at the keep, so I'll show you guys the keep being reffed, because that is at least is what is happening right now. Keeps reffed. There's some ships on the front. We got an entire battleship fleet, Leshaks and everything from Goons. A lovely warp in over here. Look at that. Lovely warp in on the screen. And we're getting a nice warp in from the guys. A nice little square right behind the keep star. There's the keep star, and it's slowly getting reft. Now, I'm not trying to be incendiary. I'm not trying to bait out Horde here. I'm not trying to be a dick to them. But I have to say, if I can, and I want to speak to the Horde line members that may be watching the show right now, is this really what you want from this game? I mean, is this what you came for? Is this why you play Eve? For move ops and the constant bragging about things that don't matter. I thought it was hilarious. If you guys saw earlier this week, there was a fight. It wasn't a big fight. It was a little fight, but it was a fight in a random system. Let me find where it was because I have the battle report here. Random fight in a system that didn't matter. All right, I got it. It was in Jawunda and Curse and 1P Tech. Now, Jawunda is one of their staging areas, okay? It's frustrating to me that this is the type of thing that they start bragging about. This was a fight that didn't have to happen, okay? Goons brought 603 ships, and Horde brought 128. They fought outnumbered 2-1. But let's look and see, you know, as Paul Harvey would say, let's get the rest of the story. Well, here's the rest of the story. These guys were in bar guests, and they dumpstered a fleet full of frigates, hawks, flycatchers. I was in the flycatcher fleet. I died. Let me show you me. There I am, right there, in the flycatcher. I died. They bragged about this fleet. Not only did they brag about it, Gobbins pinged about it, bragging about this fleet of, hey, look at this. The goon FCs are trying to explain away what happened here. What happened here was we took a fight in frigates. They brought bar guests, okay? They brought way heavier ships. Alterari brought in. It was FCs. We're like, fuck it. We're going to fight. And we died. But this is the kind of thing that is the only thing that seems to get any of these Horde guys happy. It's just not making them happy. And I don't understand how it is. I just don't understand how it is that these guys are in the process of, like, how they can brag. How do you brag about something like this? I just don't get it. But they are. And that's what's frustrating to me. Can the Ansem Lex be destroyed in one game? No, it'll get reft, just like the Keep Star will get reft, and we'll have to come back for it later. But I mean, the reality is, why not? Why wouldn't we come back for it? If they're not going to fight here, if they're pulling all of their stuff out, okay, then we can go. Sonra, I can't believe you got rejected SRP for your mind leak in that story. I don't get it. So, again, we hand them a set-piece battle of the type that could have been a lot of fun that was coming out of nowhere. Like, Weapons Grade says, you lost more ships than ISK. If you can't brag about that, what else? I mean, that's the thing. What else is there? A lot more than this. Brag about fights that matter. Brag about fights that are consequential. I mean, this is NullSec. We're not talking about HighSec. We're not talking about LowSec. This isn't some faction warfare thing where they see a 400, you know, 40 billion as battle once in 2 months. The real issue is, why are we not getting the big fights when these little fights are the ones that apparently they're willing to take and brag about? That, to me, that's the sign to me. If you have to send and spend time pinging, and I mean, these are morale pings by definition, trying to let the line members know this is what they want. You know, hey, guys, you got to fight. This is great. Look, we won. We beat them. And then we even fought outnumbered. Yeah, but it's like, as I noted on Reddit, I mean, when you're talking about bar guests killing flycatchers, you might as well be bragging about how many cockroaches you stomped in your kitchen. You really showed those cockroaches good. It's just not anything I think would be really worthwhile bragging about. So why are you doing it? And why not take the fights? Why not take a fight, a good fight, that we're offering? I don't know. So here we are. This is where we are right now. Now, Pink Rabbit brings up a very, very good point. The other thing that we have been noticing and seeing is the constant surrounding of every timer, everything is being put into China time zone. Why is it being put into China time zone? Because PandaFam, by definition, has an insurmountable advantage in Chinese time zone. Why is that? Because Fraternity can dump numbers way more than we can in China time zone. We can hold our own. We have Dracaris. We have our guys. But that is their absolute strongest time zone. And it's where they think they have their most advantages. So why are we getting those types of things happening? It's not one of these things where you like, why would you do this? Well, obviously, if you don't want to fight, setting all of your timers for the worst possible time zone so that you can get away with not fighting because the other side will be deterred from taking a fight because of the time zone. Hey, well, that's great for you. But it's not great for everybody else, and it's certainly not great for the line members who just want to play. Can we let them play? Now, people will ask, well, Brisk, nothing is stopping you from going to the drone regions and taking the fight to Horde themselves. Well, there are a couple of things stopping us. The first is, why would we do that? We have nothing to gain going up there. Crispy, as far as we can tell, they are passing today. Not only is it hard to do, not only is it a pain in the ass, not only is it a long-ass trip, even with Antiblexes, I mean, at the end of the day, why would we do it? Other than content. Which will get me back to one of the things that we've talked about on the show a million billion times, and I'm hoping that we're going to be able to talk about some more, and that is, number one, in addition to all of the other stuff we talk about on this show, the problem is the way the game is designed, unfortunately. There is an over-reliance on time zone tanking, and that's inevitable in a game like ours where you have everybody playing on the same server. The world is round. People aren't awake all at the same time. Rip Trainer, sorry you're dead, dude. This is one of these things where you got to realize, like, the world is round. We can't all be playing the game at the exact same time. And giving the side that is the defender the ability to determine the time zone is, I can understand why it was designed that way in the beginning. It makes sense. But in the long run, and at least in the year of our Lord 2024, it has become such a powerful tool that it is literally stopping fights from happening. It is deterring fights from happening. It is very difficult to do any kind of soft warfare. It is difficult to do a lot of the major structure bashing that we're used to. So that to me is frustrating. And we've done this. We've had this happen a lot of times, plenty of times when we've done this. We've gone into these big wars and everybody's trying to time zone. And then at some point, everybody stops and like, you know what? We're not getting any fights. We want to have a war. So let's switch it. And we switch stuff to EU time zone and we switch stuff to US time zone. Atrium, it is a powerful tool, just like many in Horde leadership. Now, what am I suggesting? Should it be random? No, but I think it should have more of a wobble than it does right now. You should be able to say, I want to set excuse me, I want to set the time zone for a certain level. Set it for a certain period. But there be enough of a wobble that there's at least a 50%, even more based on the size. I mean, I think absolutely Vitharion, have the wobble based on the structure size would be perfect. Do that so that you don't always, if you set it to a certain time, there's a good chance that maybe you're gonna get a bad roll of the dice and move it to a time zone that's better. Or I think Dr. Device there says triple structure HP and remove timers. That's perfectly fine too. That's another way to do it. In the end, the bottom line is we need to have something that takes away the strength and the power of time zone tanking, because it is probably the number one thing that is killing Nullsec content right now. Strat was a great way. Back in Dominion Solve, having to do the timers, Strat everything, there you go. Now, in addition to the girth of time zone tanking, as Atrium said, the bottom line is we know CCP is working on Nullsec Sov stuff. Why do we know that? Well, it was one of the few things we got out of it's one of the things we got out of the CSM summit when we had the CSM members on the show. We didn't have any of the Horde guys, but we had Darkshines from Innit, we had Torvald, we had a number of folks that were in the room. And the one thing that it seemed clear, without them telling us what was said, it seemed clear that one of the priorities for CCP in 2024 is Nullsec Sov, or at least the Nullsec meta. And that includes Sov, because Sov is a big deal, structures are a big deal, how you own your space, how you make your space going. Yes, and you're right, Calculating is correct. There was the dev blog, and it talked about the same thing. So the result is, we know they're working on this type of thing for Nullsec. So what does that mean in terms of the overall meta for Eve? Well, what I think the number one thing it means is, now is not the time that we're going to see major big fights from these groups, because they're not going to want to do that. Well, major changes are, I mean, that's why you're not going to see a big move from, say, Goonswarm or Imperium to go up north to fight Horde. What you will see are these set piece battles that are part of the standard Cold War between Goons and Horde, between Imperium and Pandafam. And that's why I feel like this was a huge missed opportunity, because these types of fights are going to become even few and farther in between while everybody in Nullsec is waiting for the big changes to come, potentially with whatever the next expansion is going to be in July, in the July timeframe. Now, you could say, well, Brisk, you just said, why isn't Horde fighting? And then you gave a perfect reason why they might be fighting. Well, here's the thing. You cannot, in Nullsec, you can't spend all your time telling all your people, well, we're not going to fight the bad guys. We're not going to go PvP unless it's like an ESS Rome or a little thing, or maybe we'll have some kind of fight. You got guys who've been playing this game for years. You've got people on both sides of the aisle that have huge numbers of ships. They've got Titans. They've got Dreads. They've got super carriers. They've got carriers. They want to use them. And they get disillusioned very quick. I know I love getting in these big Titan fights, these 14-hour fights like M2 that we streamed. We streamed M2 on INN here for 14 straight hours. We had more than 10,000 people watching the show. It was huge. People love those fights because they matter. And you're seeing trillions of ISK, hundreds of thousands of real-life dollars dying on the screen. That's never coming back. Unless, of course, you know, they're Ghost Titans like we saw in the first fight. I guess it was the second fight. Those are the types of things that people want to see. They're excited. They can't believe that this is the kind of thing that happens in a video game. That's what makes Eve great. And when we deprive people of those fights because, well, maybe we're not going to win, or maybe we're not going to do so good, or any of that kind of stuff. When we deprive the people of their girthy fights, people get upset. And they get bored. And they get tired. And they think, you know what? Maybe I'll go play Helldivers 2 instead. And that's frustrating. Because I want to see the game thrive. I want to see the game do very well. I want to see an Eve that has a ton of people playing in it. Here we are back. Here is the structure. Let me show you. It will anchor in 16 minutes right as the show is ending. I will probably end the show with the thing anchoring and us dropping the core. To me, it is one of these things where we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to have a good fight. To have a big fight. We're here. The bad guys have stuff within jump range. They could jump in here right now if they wanted to. But they haven't. And I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Now, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that is just, you know, Brisk, the former line member who now, you know, is a Karma Fleet director and a Goon director. And he's finally getting to see the behind the scenes stuff and trying to figure out things. Maybe that's just me not be, maybe that's me being a leadership noob. But I tell you what, if I were running Horde right now, I would have taken this fight, regardless of what happened, just because we haven't done one in a while. And it's the kind of thing that your members like. And I'll tell you this, I have been in 10,000 fleets in this game, okay? The 17.1 trillionists that I've killed in this game did not come out of nowhere. I have never been in a fleet where the FC has said to the fleet, well, guys, we're kind of outnumbered. I'm a little nervous about this fight. There's a pretty good chance we're going to get dumpster. What do you want to do? Do you want to fight? Or do you want to run away? I have never, not one time in 18, well, how many years is it now? 18 years of playing this game, I have never, ever heard a fleet say, FC, I want to go home. I'm scared. Never, not once. You never will hear it. Every single time you hear, let's go. Go fight. Who cares? It's just a ship. Ships are ammo. We're going to die. Everything's fine. I'm telling you, no one is going to bitch if you take a fight, especially given the fact that we have not had a significant fight in NullSec between the two great powers in at least a couple of months. Now, the Horde guys would love to, they'll say, well, that dread bomb we did in last October, that was totally a big fight. Yeah, it was. It was October. I refuse to believe that Horde is not willing to take a risk by coming in here and fighting our girthy fleets. I refuse to believe that. I don't think there is anyone in there who would be qualified to sit here and tell me that they're scared. Because I don't think they are. I've seen the Horde line members. I've got an alt in Horde. We all do. I've seen Horde line members. They want to fight as much as Imperium guys do. They want to fight as much as the Goons do. So who are the ones that are scared? Well, do I need to say? Do I have to point it out to you? I don't think I do. It's frustrating. Now, YAZP, remember 1DQ, Goons and I contact for months? No, I don't remember that at all because we fought every day. That was, for those of you who are not around for Vietnam, I feel bad for you because, man, that was one of the best freaking things we had for months. The bad guys dropped a Keepstar in T5ZI. It was literally next door to 1DQ. We had so much fun. Every day, you go out, you undock, you jump, you sit and gate camp on the T5ZI gate. It was the greatest thing ever. You got fights constantly. You got fights constantly. And you know what? I miss it. I really do. I will say, Vietnam was one of the most stressful time periods in the game. Super stressful. Freaked me out. Always nervous. But you know what? it was some of the best fun that we've ever had. And I would go back to that any day now. If we could set up a situation or some place, like maybe this Keepstar. Maybe this Keepstar, where we've got a fort anchoring in 11 minutes right across from. Man, wouldn't it be great if we could just undock from this keep and go fight these guys? That would be crazy. Thank you to everybody who just gave all the subs out so that our guys don't have to watch ads while they're listening to me spin. I appreciate that. Now, look, I feel bad. Even CCP thought this was happening. Yesterday, they pinged this out on Twitter. They didn't ping this out for no reason. They didn't ping this out because they thought, well, hey, guess what? There's a structure onlining in EVE. Structures online in EVE every day. Every day. Every day. They thought there was going to be a fight. We all thought there was going to be a fight. Nobody expected PandaFam leadership to be as weak-kneed as they appear to be. And I'm surprised. Now, Atrium says CCP didn't think the Gabarino would be a coward, but that means they haven't been paying attention. I guess that's fair. But I mean, I hear constantly, that it's our fault. We need to go invade them. And again, I don't understand that. I've never understood because we're here. They moved into Ketch. They were pushing into this area. Fraternity started it. They transferred this fort to, or for this Keepstar to Horde in January. This is their thing. And now it's like, okay, what more do we need to do? And Chuck, I agree 100%. He says porcupine tactics are so nasty. And they are, because in the end, it's like, what does this get them? Do they get a win from this? Excuse me. Do they get a win? Do they get anything they can brag about? Well, we sure blueballed these guys. Man, we got Brist to talk for a whole 50 minutes about nothing. You know? And I mean, I honestly was hoping that I was going to get to spend an hour or so talking about fighting. I thought we were going to get a chance to talk about fighting. And the result is, no, we're not talking about fighting. We're talking about nothing. Because yet again, we have laid the table. We have spread the table out. We put the candelabras out. We lit the candles. All of the best china is on the table. The turkey is in the oven. It's cooking right now. It's ready to go. We've got the girthiest sausages, all the mashed potatoes you can handle. Everything is ready to go. We have a whole dinner laid out for you. All you got to do is walk in the room. All you got to do is walk in the room. All you got to do is show up. And they can't even do that. And Draco is right. As the meme goes, my disappointment is immeasurable and my day is ruined. Well, I guess, you know what? We're 7 minutes away from this Fortizar onlining, completely uncontested, directly across from a fully authorized, fully operational Keepstar that has been in the system for months. Now, I guess I will say this. That is 100% true. Anthony says, don't let it ruin your day. You all got to spend time with your space friends. And we did. That's part of the fun. We got to hang out here. We had fun here. Sunray says, come to Faction Warfare, Bruce. We don't throw it out. That's the thing. I like that. I don't have a problem. I have no problems with going out and fighting small gang style. That's fun. I do that all the time. Merc and me and the guys, when we go out, we love to do it in a small group. That's great. But there is part of me that is in love with the big, massive tie-dye fights that make it in the newspapers part of EVE Online. Kalana DeLuca, no, you didn't miss the fight because there wasn't one. It is, to me, absolutely crazy that yet again, when we could have had a fight, when the table was out, table was laid, the meal is preparing, we could have had a big fight, and boom, we don't. And why? Because some people in this game have decided that it is much easier to weaponize boredom and not play than it is to come and have fun. Come have fun. Maybe you win, maybe you lose. It doesn't matter. In the end, if you do not provide to your members the types of things that your members expect in a big group like NullSec, like NullSec's supposed to have, they're not going to be your members very much longer. And that's an Amethyst, as an absolute new bro, was looking forward to his first big fight. Get it on, guys. We want a spectacle. I agree, 10,000%. We did not bring this many girthy fleets to the system if we didn't want to fight. If we did not want to fight, they would not have done it. Weasel, I will put Hell March in here for you because we just don't let links during the show. I'll link it for you. Give me a second. Nope, that's not it. All right. There's a link for you. And that to me is, it's a damn shame. I get renters just want to rent. People don't want to fight. I mean, it's it. Maybe on the Keepstar Farmer. J55 says maybe on the Keepstar. I mean, that's a good question. That's the thing. I don't know. Like, there's multiple different ways to handle Keepstar fights, okay? The easiest one, the standard one, the one that you see all the time is exactly what is happening right now on the screen. You drop a structure on the same grid as the Keepstar. Why do you do that? Well, what happens is we allow this structure to be our kicking off point. It's the kicking off point for the fight on the Keepstar. We could have anchored a Keepstar. I mean, that would have been fine. We could have anchored a Keepstar. That might have been more of an incentive for Horde to undock, but at the end of the day, whether it's a Keepstar or whether it's a Fortizar, it has the one thing that you need if you're going to be fighting a Keepstar fight, and that is a structure you can tether on. And at least here with a Fortizar, it's a structure you can tether on that you can dock caps in. You can't dock supers, no titans, no super carriers, but you can dock carriers in it, you can dock dreads in it, and you can tether titans and supers off of it. So what happens? A set piece battle like this, you would bring in your super fleet, you sit them on the Fortizar, they stay tethered. At some point, you have everybody go on tether, they lock the structure, they send their fighters to the keep, and they start shooting the keep when the keep comes out. And then in the meantime, you have subcap fleets and other types of fleets out running around fighting on the grid, trying to protect the supers as well as interfere with whatever the guys are bringing to defend. That is the standard set piece battle when it comes to these types of things. Now, in F4R2, because Fraternity owns the SOP, they could put down jammers in the system and make it harder for us to bring ships in, make it harder for us to jump caps in to do that. That could be a potential thing that they do on the Keepstar timer. But in the end, the bottom line is, there are multiple ways to defend this system. These guys have done it before. There is no reason why they can't figure it out this time. There was no reason why we shouldn't have gotten a fight this time. CCP's pinging it out. We were pinging it out. You don't see Asher posting on Reddit, but when he does, he knocks it out of the park, and he did that earlier. Trying to do a little, just goad these guys a little bit, goad them into, hey, you know what? Come play with us. I mean, literally, it's like Asher is Anna singing, do you want to build a fucking snowman? Hoping that Gobbins in the other room will come out and play. That's what happened today. He could not have set things up better. And the result was nothing. We are 1 minute and 35 seconds away from this Fortas are onlining. And it's pretty clear to me that this is a victory for the Imperium, a small one, but a victory nonetheless. But man, it's a big loss for everybody in EVE, because this could have been a big fight. It could have been fun. We could have had a nice juicy stream, a nice girthy stream. We're up to 752 people. We could have doubled those numbers because people like to see big fights. I said girthy again. Drink, everybody. It all was there. Every little bit of it was there. And the result? Nothing. I'm kind of happy Mark's not here. I'm kind of happy that Mark is away. Now, I'm not happy that for the reason why he's away, because obviously no one wants to see a death in the family. But I am very happy that Mark is away, because I don't like it when the wormholers see us with our pants down. And that's kind of what this is. This is NullSec proving yet again and reinforcing some of the concerns that a lot of people have. I love the fact that Girth Brooks is now following. That's wonderful. Welcome. I love your music. This is the type of thing that you would expect. Now, here we go. Structure's onlining now. It's low power, core absent. We got another 15 minutes and then it's done. I cannot believe for the life of me that we had the opportunity for a good fight and the other side said no. It's a shame, but it's what happened. And unfortunately, I don't predict, and I can't predict when the next big fight's going to be. Could it be on this armor? Could it be on an armor time or on this keep star? Maybe. Could it be some other thing we're not paying attention to? Maybe. I don't know. But at the end of the day, what could have turned into one of the girthiest fights in the last 5 or 6 months turned into not even a wet fart. It's kind of a dry, squeaky one. That's a shame. All right. Anyway, next week, Meta Show next week. Mark will be here. We will be doing another wormhole show. I will be on vacation. I hope that I at least was able to get you guys drunk on the show, because God knows there's nothing else happening. So hopefully that kind of took some of the sting out of it. Next week, Mark will be on the show. I assume he's going to be on the show. I will wait to hear from him. I think we're going to do the show. I'll be back the week after. We'll have a regular show then. Hopefully, maybe, someday, we'll get some fights and we can do something good during the show. But today was not that day. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of INN, thank you for watching. As always, you are the best audience in EVE Online. Thank you for tuning in to the most watched, longest running EVE talk show of all time. I'm Bruce Rubal. This is the Meta Show, and you stay girthy, New Eden.